This is Dial a Saint introducing Saint Francis Xavier. Oh no, this can't be my college roommate. Why, he must be at least 40 years old with no degree at all. He is practically a cripple with that lame leg, and his shabby clothes make him a real sight. While the outward appearance of Francis Xavier's new roommate was unimpressive, the real strength of Ignatius of Loyola was his spiritual wisdom. But Francis, who was always full of energy and a student who stubbornly held to his opinions, soon had to admit that the quiet humility of Ignatius attracted him as no one had before. However, Ignatius admitted he did not have an easy time getting Francis to see life through God's eyes. There were times when I told him of all my plans to change the world, of the wonderful things I would do. Ignatius would always reply, "What would it profit you if you won the entire world but lost your soul forever in hell?" Finally, after 5 years, when I decided to follow him, he told me that I had been the toughest piece of dough he had ever had the pleasure of shaping. The early 1500s was a time of exploration to find new trade routes leading to the countries of the East. To some, this represented an opportunity to increase national power or personal wealth. To others, it was an opportunity to spread the message of God. In these years, Portugal was a dominant seafaring nation in Europe. It controlled about 11,000 miles of seacoast by establishing trading towns protected by its soldiers. Its ships sailed as far as Japan and China. In these same years, Ignatius of Loyola founded his Society of Jesus, of which Francis Xavier and 5 others were the first members. They placed themselves under the direction of the Pope, who saw in the popular spirit of exploration a great need for priests to teach in foreign missions. The Society of Jesus was asked to help, and Francis, who had always dreamed of becoming a missionary, was given the assignment to travel with the newly assigned Portuguese governor to the city of Goa near India and Ceylon. The normally 6-month voyage lengthened into 13 because of the bad weather we encountered. Beside the crew, my ship carried passengers, soldiers, slaves, and convicts. The cramped quarters magnified everyone's problems, and I was called upon to hear complaints, patch up quarrels, stop fights, swearing, and gambling. My cabin became the infirmary to treat the ill and the seasick, of which I was one of the most regular patients. When the ship finally reached its port, the city officials and clergy, who enjoyed a life of ease and soft religion, hoped to find a priest who liked pomp and luxury. They were surprised when Francis visited the prisons and cleaned up the filth, or when he cared for the convicts and slaves. They became a little more uncomfortable when he visited the hospital to hear confessions and to baptize, and then visited the leper camp to tend to the suffering there. He performed more baptisms in 1 month than had been given in 1 year. The little people loved him, and they liked to sing the melodies he composed to accompany words telling about Jesus and his love for them. I found a little bell which I rang as I walked through the streets, calling out, "Come, friends of Jesus Christ, send your sons and daughters, send your slaves to hear the holy doctrine for the love of God." But Francis did not go to the Indies to preach to the Portuguese colonists. I hear there are a few who live up the coast who have accepted Christianity in order to get Portuguese protection from the Arabs. I will go there, but first I must learn their language so I can instruct, baptize, and confirm them. To gain their trust, I must become like them, eat their food of rice and water, and sleep on the ground in a hut. Francis was so successful that he asked 4 other priests to assist him. Once a pagan raiding party attacked several villages of Christians to rob, kill, and take slaves. Francis went to meet them alone and held them off from another attack with just a crucifix in his hand. The dangers to which I am exposed and the tasks I undertake for God are springs of spiritual joy, so much so that these islands are the best places in all the world for a man to lose his sight by excess of weeping. But they are tears of joy. I do not remember ever to have tasted such interior delight and consolations. But the actions of some Portuguese Christians set bad examples for the new converts. Francis describes this in a letter to the King of Portugal. Some of the new native converts are often scared away from the faith by the cruelties and poor examples by your own appointed servants. There is danger that when God calls your highness to judgment, you may hear only angry words from him. Why do you not punish those who are so cruel to those who try to do good? One day, a Portuguese trader told Francis about the island of Japan. Francis decided to go there, but he was not very successful, for in the first 12 months he made only 100 converts. Francis decided to change his tactics. He dressed himself in fine robes, had his co-workers act as his servants. He collected some presents and presented himself before the local governor as a representative of Portugal. His gifts of music box, clock, and eyeglasses created a sensation. The official gave Francis permission to teach anywhere he wished and gave him a Buddhist monastery to use. Converts increased each day until they totaled 2,000 by the time Francis returned to India. Francis greatly desired to preach in China to establish the faith in this country closed to foreigners. But his prayers were not answered. The Portuguese ship carrying Francis was not allowed into port. Instead, he was forced to wait during the cold days of winter on a small island just 6 miles from the mainland for a Chinese ship which never arrived. Soon he became sick and died in 1552 at the age of 46. His body was packed in lime, but was found to be incorrupt and fresh when the coffin was later opened. His remains are preserved without embalming to this day through the will of God. Francis Xavier was named to be a saint in heaven in 1622 and is called the patron saint of foreign missions. His influence in spreading Christ's message in the East was as great as was St. Paul's in the West. While we may never teach about God in foreign lands, we are expected to show through our example or word that as Christ's followers, our love for him must be the basis for everything we do.